Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Almighty, hallelujah. Welcome to another episode of Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Joe Israel, coming to ministry, Bible study class. And tonight, we are starting the third day in the creation. And yes, we switched it from the morning to evening. You know, it only makes sense that why, because, well, each day we begin in the evening, so I guess that's the way the Father wanted it. So we just got to roll with the way he's dealing with it right now, so amen. What we want to do is we want to ask our brothers and sisters, if you can, stand and face Jerusalem as we approach the Father. Brothers, if you can, uncover your heads. And sisters, if you can, cover your heads as we approach the Father. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This day, our daily bread, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren, and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but light and bless us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children, their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and faith one. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and also send your Holy Spirit upon them as well and give them too a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Praise to the Most High God of Israel. Welcome again to the Sounds of Living Waters. Man, God is merciful. We are on the third day of the creation. We are approaching the midst of the week. We aren't in the midst of the week. We're in the third day. The midst of the week bring life. Amen. The midst of the week bring life. That's right. Amen. Light upon the world. That's a whole nother conversation. In fact, the title of this creation precept is that it's called the Earth, Planet, and World. The World, Planet, Earth. Or the Planet, World, Earth. How do you want to look at it? All these things are different. The planet and the earth are one and the same, but world is what you call interchangeable. That's sometimes we can use the word world to describe the planet, but you can never use the planet to describe the world. Because the planet is an entity to itself. That's the earth. The earth is a planet. It's not a world. A world is a state of mind. A world is Illinois over New York. Those are two different worlds. New York from Texas or New York from Florida, two different worlds. Three different worlds. Four. Four different worlds in our own union. And we're supposed to have one mind. Think about that. So then you got these other worlds that's within themselves, and you're talking about Asia, then you go in there and you start talking about Japan, and then they different worlds within themselves, and then you have China, and then you have the different worlds within themselves, and then you have the islands like Malaysia and things like that, and agree. Those are worlds to themselves, but they are not the earth. They're not the earth. The earth is what we are on right now is a giant mountain. Yeah, it's a mountain. We managed to build, and I mean we, I'm talking about the Chang'e gang, you know, in the 20s and in 1800s and into the 19th century, you had chain gangs, and they built roads into the mountains, and they built cities on top of the mountains. And so now what we have is that you have worlds on top of the mountains, like Minnesota is on top of a mountain. It's far above Illinois when it comes to sea level. Speaking of sea level, not ocean level, but sea level. Speaking of sea level, the sea covered the entire planet. So if the sea covered the entire planet, now we are looking at, he said, let the earth bring forth, let the earth come forth of the waters. Well, all these things here, we're going to look at both physically and spiritually. God willing, we're going to take our time like we have with the other precepts, like one and two. So we're going to do the same thing with three, and we're going to take our time with it. And hopefully we can get understanding, more understanding than we have gotten in the past, you know, time that we went through this precept. So hopefully we can get more understanding. I know I've been learning. So let me wipe these glasses off. Get started.
I am wiping my glasses off.
Oh, So, Genesis, chapter 1, verse 8. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 8, because see, this is where we're going to pick up him calling the earth out of the waters. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 8. Now, you got to remember also, let's take this into mind, he's talking to Moses. Moses wrote Genesis, so Moses is the first one that got first dibs on the creation, and Moses taught the priests about the creation. And he taught Israel about the creation. But this thing he taught to Moses. So Moses is teaching us this. We're reading Moses' writings of the creation. Amen. So, and he said this. And so he said this in verse 8. And he said, and God called the firmament heaven in the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together the waters, and called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herbs yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So this is the third day that he called forth the earth out of the water. So now we see that this water that covered the earth, now here come the earth out of it, right? Because the water is, the earth isn't just a big bubble, like a glass bubble that's holding water. No, it's a mass that's holding the water. Right. It's a giant rock that holds water, like all the other planets, like Mars. Mars hold water. You know, you can actually see the water trails and things like that, and it's showing that there were once rivers or waters or things like that that flew on Mars. But here we have witness that in the creation that there are things that God had written talking about what he did with the water after he called the earth to come forward. The water didn't never disappear. It's still here. I mean, it may have evaporated and went to another place, but it did not disappear. Water is always going to be on the earth. It just moves. It says this, and so let's go back to that. Let's go back to verse 9. And it said this, and he said, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now, mind you, we're going to get into some physical, and it's the spiritual side of it too. Now, the physical side is this, is that he actually called the earth to come forth for the water. Where did the water go? Did it go up to heaven? Did it, you know, because some of us will, you know, we'll come into this and we'll say, well, he created the firmament, so the water had to go up to heaven. No, that's not what happened to this water. It's a whole other conversation. So where did the water go? We're going to find those things out. And you're going to actually be moved back when you realize what God did with the water. And you find out, it makes sense, right? And it says this. Let's go into Job chapter 36 and verse 22. Job 36 and 22. Job chapter 26 and 36, no,
36 and 22. Job 36 and 22. He said, God, it says, Job 36 and 22, behold, God exalteth by his power who teaches like him. It continues, it says, who hath enjoined him his way, who can say, thou hast wrought iniquity. Remember that thou magnify his work, which man behold. Every man may see it, man may behold it afar off. And this is what, you know, we missed the picture in the memo, is that we magnifying his work, and that we, you know, want to sit up here and act like we big eyes and you little yous because you don't have the understanding that us big heads do and this, that, and the other, and this, that conversation, right? Okay. He said, and he maketh small the drops of the waters. They pour down rain according to the vapors thereof. So now here it is. He's telling us now we got rain coming up. Rain come from vapors. So now the water is becoming oxygen. Oxygen is becoming air. It's becoming moisture. It's turning into what we know as clouds. So this water is now transforming. He's saying that this water here, part of it is turning into clouds, right? It's creating an atmosphere for the whole planet. This is that thing. So this is what he's showing us right here. Out of the book of, I mean, really, considering maybe Isaiah, man, I can't see him talking to Moses and Job more about the creation than any other brother in a Bible. It's hard for me to realize that. It's hard for me to conceive that. We know that he talked to Solomon, and we know that he talked to David, but not like he talked to Moses and Job about the creation. So now he's telling us that when the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, remember now in Genesis chapter 1, he calls vapors now to come forward, right? He's creating an atmosphere, right? He said in 28, it says, well, I'm going to read 27. He said, God, okay. 26, behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can any number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small drops of water, they pour down rain continually to the vapors thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Also, can any understand the spreading of the clouds or the noise of his tabernacle? Behold, he spreadeth his light upon it and covereth the bottom of the sea. Ain't that something? That's heaven. Because remember now, he separated the seas. When he separated the waters, those were the seas. Some would call them oceans. There's no such thing as oceans in the Bible. There's no such word as ocean in the Bible. It's only seas. So you had to identify that there's a sea above us and a sea beneath us. And it's the sea that's on the earth is separated from the one that's above in heaven. That one is moving just as well as the one that's on the planet. Everything is moving according to this giant gravitational pull that's got our entire solar system moving in a vortex, which is motored by gravity. Okay. Anyway, let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Job chapter 37. Job 37 and verse 11. Job 37 and verse 11. And it says this, also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud, and is turned round about by his counsel. And, wait a minute, what do you mean it's turned round about, but it's turning into a cyclone or something? It's turning into a tornado, a whirlwind? What is it doing? It says this, it commandeth them upon the face of the world and in the earth. See, you got two conversations here. This is why we identified the precept, the planet, the world, and the earth. Because, see, all these things are different. The planet is different, the earth is different, and the world is different. So here we hear this conversation again is spoken in conjunctions. Watch this. It says, verse 12, Job 37 and 12, it says this, and it is turned round about by his counsel that they may do whatever so he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He calls it to come whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. He said, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Doest thou knowest when doeth God dispose them can and cause the light of his cloud to shine? He said, doest thou know the balancings of the cloud and the wondrous works of him in the perfect knowledge? Perfect knowledge is to know how much a cloud weighs. No man can determine that. We don't even have an instrument that can determine how much a cloud weighs. So that's perfect knowledge. So we don't have perfect knowledge. So we insult not God by even trying to interpret that we have more knowledge in our science than he do, and his infinite wisdom that he actually created everything that we are searching out. Right. It says this. It says, hold thy garments. He said, how thy garments are warm when he quieth the earth with a south wind. Has he spread out the sky, which is strong and has a malting looking glass? Wait a minute. This is where these guys get the fatter dome thing from. That's all you need. Okay. All right. I got a spaceship to sell you. All right, well, enough of that. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Genesis chapter. Yeah, we're going to wait on that, Job. We're going to go into Genesis chapter 9 and 13. Genesis 9 and 13. He said, I do set my bow in a cloud, and it shall be for a token and of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that bow shall be seen in the cloud. See, this is that thing when he had separated the earth, when he separated the waters from the waters, that's what he was doing. He brought the waters upon him. He brought the Spirit of God above, you know, upon the waters. Well, this is it. He's telling you what you're doing, but he's giving us bits and pieces here and there. And so this is part of that conversation in Genesis. This is how he did it. He said, well, when I bring my cloud over the waters or over the earth, because the earth, remember now, was covered in water at this time. So when he did this, it was still in demo. You know, his cloud and the rainbow was there and this is that. So you got to put your mindset that he did this then, because he's doing it now, then you know he did it then. This is how he moved. He when he brought forth, when he said the Spirit of God moved upon the waters in Genesis chapter 1, this is that conversation. This is how he looked when he did it. Let's look at this again. It says in verse 13, Genesis 9 and 13, it says this, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token and for a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living thing of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living thing of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have set between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Now, you got to remember now, he had just got through flooding the planet like he had in the beginning. All right? He had just got through covering the earth all over again. You see, just like it was in the beginning, but this time man was on the planet and they felt it. Man got washed off of it. And it was like only 8 people survived that conversation, which was Noah and his children and their wives. They're the only ones that survived that conversation, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and Noah, and their wives. So the God of Israel is showing us, or I guess will be telling us, that, you know, he had brought the water again like he did in the beginning, like when he got rid of the dinosaurs, right? Makes sense to me. I mean, I ain't going to argue it. Let's look at this a little further. Let's look. Let's go into Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3. Ezekiel 1 and 3. And so he's bringing this cloud over the waters, right? And he's separating the waters from the waters, and he's causing the earth to come up. So he's speaking to the earth to come forth of the waters right now, right? So he's moving upon the waters. This is that thing that we just got to reading about in the book of Job when he bring, I mean, in Genesis, when he brings his cloud over the earth. Ezekiel 1 and 3. Ezekiel 1 and 3. And it says this, and the word came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. Wait a minute, Ezekiel was a Levite? Well, sound like it to me. Ezekiel the priest, that sound like a Levite on so many levels, right? Let's see if he got some credentials. And I look and see, and the word came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river of Shebar, at the hand of the Lord was upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came up the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and the brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures, and there were the appearance, and they had the likeness of a man. And every one had 4 faces, and every one had 4 wings. So this is that thing. So now he's telling us that he got this flying tornado, that whirlwind that he was talking about that he bring upon the earth. Well, that's it. And he ride upon these things. So when he had asked, when he had gave the earth commandments to come forward out of the waters, he was on this. Doing this. He was on this on a whirlwind of fire, a tornado of fire, or, you know, yeah, that's what he said, a controlled flame. And inside of this controlled flame were cherubims, you know. So he, when he brought his, you know, the Spirit of God move upon the waters, then those were the cherubs that carried him on the waters, and he said, let there be light, and there was light, and here we are. All of us being written in time. Everyone that's in earshot of this, every one of us that can hear this, we've been written in time. What we do with time, that's between you and God, but we've been written in time as a witness that there's consciousness let's look at this. I'm going to skip down to the 25. Okay? We'll skip down to that 25 because this is what we want to get to. It says, and there was a voice from the firmament that was above their heads. And when they stood and let down their wings, and the firmament that there was over their heads was a likeness of a throne, and a likeness of a sapphire stone, and a likeness of a throne, and it was the likeness and appearance of a man above it. And I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. And I saw it as if it was the appearance of fire, and he had brightness round about in the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day. And so the appearance of the brightness round about, and it was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake. So he's showing us that this is his MO. This is how he moves. This is how he go back and forth. This is how he go, you know, from point A to point B. You see, so it's not like there isn't, he don't know, he need a spaceship. You know, like this one guy I met, man, he's a grown man, right? And he actually said, God is got a spaceship, right? I said, for real? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, he got a spaceship, and that's how he's going to come down to get us, you know. I said, oh, man, that sounds like some of that Parliament Funkadelic stuff, but all right, okay, I'm with you. All right, let's roll with that. Dig this. So how do he fuel a spaceship? I just thought I'd throw that out there, see if he had an answer. He actually tried to come up with an answer, said, with the water. In the seas, he fill up the spaceship with the seas, and I said, okay. And then I had to stop, and that's when I had read this Ezekiel chapter 1, and I had to show him that, you know, this thing ain't going to be mechanical, man. He is going to be on a physical, like riding on horses, man, you know, except for these are cherubs. You know, he said he's coming back on horses, but you know, in a figure of speech, it's going to be like this. And it's going to be on cherubims, you see. And he's going to be in a firmament. He's going to be doing his thing. Anyway, let's continue. Let's see. Genesis 26 and 8. Genesis 26 and 8. And it says this, and it came to pass when he had been there a long time, and Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of surety, she is thy wife. And how saidest thou, she is my sister? Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is thou that has done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lying with thy wife and should have brought guiltiness upon us. So this adultery thing is a serious conversation. It ain't just talking about bringing a crime on, just you and that individual. You could bring sin upon your entire family with this madness, right? And it continues. It goes on. It says, let's see, Genesis. Okay, and Isaac sold in the sea. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. And Isaac sold in that land and received in that same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. And he possessed the flocks, possessed herds, and became great. And the store of the servants envied him for all the wells which the fathers of the servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. So where the water at? In the earth. See that? When he called the earth to come forward, the water went inside of the body, like us, like the water is inside of us. But if, we die, then we evaporate, right? The moisture is gone from us, and then we turn back to dirt and things like that, and we end up drying, all those sort of things. And that's the process, right? But the difference is that with what we're talking about here, he's telling us that a person being born is coming, it's just like coming out of the water of the earth. This is an incredible thing. And why am I reading Genesis 26? It don't have nothing to do with this lesson. All right, so let me read on. Let me continue. Obviously, I had something else on this, but this scripture wasn't intended for this, right? Okay, so yeah, let's look at this. Let's go into Job chapter 22:10. Like I said, God talked to Moses and Job a lot about the creation. And so when he talked to Job about it, he really went into the firmament on a lot of things, and not using modern science terms, you get an idea of what he's talking about if you have any idea about modern science terms. So let's read this. This is Job 22:10. It says, therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear trouble thee, O darkness that thou canst not see, and abundance of water cover thee. Is it not God in the height of heavens? And behold, the height of the stars, how high are they? And thou says, how? How do God know of? Can he judge through the dark cloud? The thick clouds are the coverings to him. And seeth not, he walketh in the circuit of heaven. So he's telling us that there's water in heaven. Right, and he's walking in a circuit of it. Well, it's a circuit is a circle. Circuit means circle. That's the derivative of circle, circuit. Circuit, derivative, circle. So, you got that. Now, with that being said, you got him talking about how he got water in heaven, right? So now he separated it. Now watch this. He says, In verse 15, has thou marked the old ways which the wicked men have trodden, which have cut down out, which are cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood? So this flood covered the entire planet. That Noah flood, it did the same thing that it was in Genesis chapter 1 12, when the earth appeared, because the earth had to come forth for the water. And so when the earth came forth for the water, where did the water go? That's the question. You know, like, I mean, with all practical reasons, you know, like, so why do that matter to me? It's in the book. It's in the book, so it should matter. You know, I mean, people, you know, can think a lot of things that we can deal with, like falling all out and faking like we feel with the Holy Ghost and pretend like we believe in things that we don't. But, or we should be actually very practical and just take the Word of God for what it says and be done with it. You know, no sensationalism, just, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or 1 plus 1 is 2. Case in point. Anyway, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 6. Genesis 7 and 6. And it says this: Noah was 600 years old when the floods of the waters were upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his son and son's wife with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of the clean beasts and of the beasts that were not clean, and of the fowls and everything that creepeth upon the earth. They went in two and two on the Noah, into the ark, the male and his female, and God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, and in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, in the same day were the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the fountains of heaven were open, and the rains were upon the earth 40 days. And the same day Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and his wives and the three wives and the sons with them into the ark. So we see here that the waters came from the earth. When he called the earth out of the rock, when he said that the dry land appeared, well, the waters went inside of the earth. Now, the earth spit all that water back out and drowned everybody like a woman, you know, when her water break. You know, he just washed everybody off. Simple as that. Makes sense to me because how long is a woman unclean if she have a male child? 40 days. Oop, there it is. Right? Okay. Yeah. And rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. There it is. So that was for the Son of Man. For man being brought into, that was for the Son of God being introduced into the creation or being brought into the earth. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go to Psalms chapter 78 and 13. Psalms 78 and 13. Psalms 78 and 13. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made water to stand as a heap. So he got this power. He said he caused sea to stand. Now watch this. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud all night with the light of fire. And he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of great depths. Great depths from where? Out of rocks. Right. The waters went into the mountains. That's why men, you know, they see things. They, you know, they find underground caverns and caves and stuff like that. So this is a part of nature or a part of science, you see, and this is the way man is. We search those things out, right? So where are we? He said this, and he said, and he clayed the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink out of great depths. He brought streams out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. So the waters that was in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 12 when he said, let the dry land appear, the dry land sucked up all the water. So technically, all we need is a drill and, you know, digging a rock or a mountain and we could find water, you know. Seriously, a river flow like he is saying right here. That was a flowing river out of a rock, out of a mountain. So the waters that dissipated in Genesis chapter 1 are here inside of the rocks. That's where the water went. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Psalms chapter 105 and 41. Psalms 105 and 41. One verse, and it says this. He opened the rock, the water gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. So the water just came out of this rock that Moses just clocked, and it just ran like a river. This is what he was telling us. This is what, you know, where did that water go? It went into the mountains or went inside of the rocks. Amen. Amen. So, hey, so with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone. What is going on here? There it is. Whoops. Good. Found it. All right. And forgive me, people, please. Once again, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, oh, and remember now, this is the new hour that we're going to deal with the scriptures. And we're going to be dealing with this creation theory. So we're just going to stay the course. And when we get a chance, we'll deal with other things as we get time during the day. But in the evenings, we're going to deal with these creations, these things. Ah, there's so much to talk about. Amen. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here, it's Sounds of Living Waters. Read your Bibles. Shabbat shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know who he's talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.